The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony. How are you?
Good talk, Kathy. Good, thank you. How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you. I do apologize that we are running a bit late. Anthony, more than 60 Palestinians were injured and fires were started along the Gaza border yesterday in Nakba Day protests. So just remind us what Nakba Day is.
So Nakba Day means literally, the translation from Arabic is the day of catastrophe. And the way that Nakba Day is presented is it mourns the day, it marks as a catastrophe, the day on which the State of Israel was formed in 1948. Obviously, they use the Gregorian calendar date rather than the Hebrew calendar date, which we celebrated on Yom HaTzmaut. And yesterday was apparently Nakba Day, this brought protests along the Gaza border. And there were quite a few things that seemed a little strange for me. First of all, there were some tens of thousands of Palestinians, literally, who had gathered along the border fence in a number of different locations. And Hamas's involvement in all of this has perplexed me somewhat, because on the one hand, we have this ceasefire that's in place. I use the word relatively loosely. Ceasefire is in place, which Hamas has agreed to ensure that protesters along the Gaza border are kept back a certain distance. And in fairness, there were apparently Hamas officials on duty along the Gaza border, dressed in their special vests that could be seen, special jackets that could be seen from quite a distance. And they were seen to be policing things along the border and, in fact, even using violent means in order to police the protests. And there were reports saying that some of the injuries that were caused to protesters were actually caused by Hamas officials. On the other hand, Hamas had closed all schools yesterday in the Gaza Strip in order to encourage people to turn up to these Nakba Day protests, clearly including school children. So that seems to me to be kind of working against each other. If on the one hand they're trying to keep people away from the Gaza fence and try to adhere to the agreement that they have with Israel through this ceasefire arrangement, then why would they, on the other hand, choose to close the schools and to encourage people to come to the border as part of the protest? So that, for me, was somewhat perplexing. And then, of course, we need to remember that it is Ramadan, so it is the fasting month of Ramadan, so no food or drink would be taken in during those protests, at least until after dark. And apparently, at around 4 o'clock, just as things were heading towards the iftar hour, the time when the fast is broken after sunset, apparently the protests did actually die down. Protesters started to make their way home, but not before damage was done. A number of fires were started along the Gaza border area on the Israeli side of the fence. There were incendiary balloons, even though, once again, this has been something that Hamas has agreed to stop as part of the so-called ceasefire arrangements. So there were some strange things going on along the Gaza border. And of course, the Israeli authorities were very much ready for this as part of the whole March of Return extended protest that's been going on Nakba Day. Of course, we can have a discussion about Nakba Day, and we can have a discussion about exactly what caused the Arabs to flee from their homes, which led, as far as they are concerned, to the Nakba, and which has also then precipitated this demand that Palestine, in inverted commas, be returned to the Palestinians, and that a land that was previously occupied by Arabs before the State of Israel, in which they ran away from, they're demanding that it be returned, whether it be in Tel Aviv or Jaffa or any other city in Israel. There have been quite a number of articles written in the newspaper in recent days and weeks about exactly how the Nakba Day really transpired and at what point it was considered to be a Nakba Day. And it wasn't, I can tell you, from day one in 1948 when the State of Israel was declared. It only really materialized after that. And also, more importantly, perhaps, to what extent the Mufti of Jerusalem was involved, because he seems to have really stoked the flames a lot. But anyway, yesterday, unfortunately, there were these Palestinians who were issued who were injured, I'm sorry, and the Israeli authorities were doing whatever they could in order to try to police things from the Israeli side of the border fence, including using all kinds of crowd dispersion weapons that were available to them. And I did have an email recently from Len asking why Israel isn't using the so-called skunk. Well, apparently the skunk was in operation yesterday. This is a very, very bad smelling spray that goes to, is sprayed at protesters in order to try to somehow disperse them. And apparently the skunk was used yesterday at protesters who were trying to actually damage the border fence. There were actually even live rounds fired into the crowd by Israeli authorities, even though there aren't any reports of people having been killed. But certainly it was a very, very tense day yesterday. And it probably will roll into tomorrow, which of course is again Friday prayers during the month of Ramadan, which is always a time of a lot of protest and a lot of violence. And so, you know, once again, the Israeli authorities will be ready both along the Gaza border tomorrow as well as at the Temple Mount, where many people will be gathering for Friday prayers. So we will see how all of that transpires tomorrow.
Anthony, let's move on to a little bit more internal news. In terms of government, apparently Benjamin Netanyahu, your prime minister, seems to be finding it very difficult to form a coalition government. Why?
Well, apparently he is having a very, very hard time. And according to reports, he has not signed any coalition agreement at all with any of the likely parties who would form part of the coalition. And we know that he's final deadline to form this government is coming up very soon, towards the end of May. And he doesn't seem to have an agreement with anybody, even though, you know, on the day after the election, it was presented as kind of a shoe-in that he would be able to create this right-wing coalition government. It was speculated there would be 63 seats in the coalition, and so it would be what for Israel is a fairly comfortable majority with three seats more than what's required for the majority. And now he's really, really struggling. And ironically, the one party that seems to be giving him more trouble than any other party is that of Avigdor Lieberman's Yisrael Beiteinu party. Lieberman has been very, very vocal in the press, saying two things. On the one hand, he's been highly critical of Prime Minister Netanyahu, and in particular, some of the concessions that he would appear to be prepared to make, particularly to the ultra-Orthodox parties, which Lieberman has said he will certainly not be any part of. And so to the extent that some of those concessions are being made to the ultra-Orthodox parties, Lieberman has said he will not sit in a coalition government. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, he has made it quite clear that he would also not support anybody else as Prime Minister of Israel. So it seems as if, though, he won't vote against the Likud on any particular matter, but he may not necessarily support them. And so this is leaving Prime Minister Netanyahu with something of a dilemma, because he may well be forced to try to form a minority coalition, or a coalition that potentially has 60 seats, which doesn't have a clear majority, but just sits on the fence, because Lieberman will effectively be taking his Knesset votes out of the picture, so that he won't. So effectively, Prime Minister Netanyahu, even with 60 seats, may well be able to govern. And that's going to be interesting to see how that transpires, because I think that's going to be an enormously as fragile and difficult way to try to govern a country, particularly with some of the issues that we're having to deal with. But some of the other things that Prime Minister Netanyahu has mentioned is that there was one faction that has four Knesset members, and we think that it probably is the Kulanu party of Moshe Kahlon, and apparently they are demanding that all four of their Knesset members have ministerial portfolios. So the Prime Minister is saying that's clearly not going to work out. He's unable to dish out portfolios to each and every Knesset seat that comes into the coalition. So that's clearly not going to work. And then he's also spoken about some of the budgetary demands. Obviously, many of the parties, and we talk here about specifically the ultra-Orthodox parties, have huge budgetary demands. And Prime Minister Netanyahu has been quoted as saying that that would be okay if we had a budget the size of the U.S. budget, but unfortunately we don't. And so some, you know, acceding to all of those demands would effectively destroy the state budget and destroy Israel's economy. And so that's, those seem to be some of the issues that he's having to deal with. It's not clear exactly how he's going to overcome this particular challenge that he has on his hands in terms of trying to form a government, but it seems as if though it's going a lot more, has having a lot more difficult of a time in doing so than certainly had been indicated by the press and certainly had been sent as a message by him when he first came out of the general election. He was very gung-ho and he felt that, you know, he was in a good position, but apparently that is not necessarily the case at all.
Anthony, just before I let you go, Michael from Gallo Manor is asking, is there not a new weapon to shoot down flaming balloons or kites? I actually do remember there was a report of that.
Yeah, we have spoken about that, and there have been reports of a particular weapon which has the ability, which has a sight, which can follow a fast-moving floating object, I guess, in the air. And as a result of that new technology in the sight, is able to shoot it down. We haven't really had any reports about how successful the deployment of that weapon has been in opposing these incendiary devices and incendiary balloons. What we do know is that a number of fires were started yesterday, so clearly whatever happened yesterday, that a weapon was not successfully deployed. But I guess we will have to watch the space a little bit more just to see whether, in fact, we have more success with that new the weapon that has been spoken about.
Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it today and for this week. And I wish you a Shabbat Shalom. We'll be hosting a Eurovision 2019 watch party on Saturday night. So
well, I hope you have a lot of fun. Enjoy it. And sure I hope you have a good weekend and a Shabbat Shalom. And I will be back on Monday as usual.
Thank you so much, Anthony. Shabbat Shalom. God bless. That's Anthony Reich. You can go and check out what he has to say. He's got a blog. It's called Comments from the Edge. With that, it is 8:01. I apologize that your news is late. Here's your news with Zanati.